Chapter 4, The Value of the Human Person, 4.0 Preface. We understand right to mean the title by which people can demand the conditions necessary for the full development of their being and their action. Human rights are historical expressions of humanity's ethical conscience, and they are natural demands that arise from the human structure. Kant said that it was not right to talk about the value of human beings, but about their dignity, because value is measurable and can be used for comparative calculation. This reflection is important because it makes us realize the transcendence of the human person beyond merely practical values. Objective: to show how the human person is the foundation of an ethics with universal validity, and how people have become aware of this value on the basis of their historical experience. 4.1. Historical discovery of the human person's value. The discovery of personal dignity is a fruit that took a long time to grow over the course of human history. It ultimately grew out of human beings' encounter with themselves. Many circumstances and factors have enabled humanity to become aware of its preeminence. Since the emergence of the great cultures, it has been recognized, often only partially, that the individual has the right to be respected and protected. Almost all cultures set forth in their legal, cultural, or religious codes the prohibition against violating certain rights and the imperative to protect life. In a certain period of Greek history, for example, the weak and the deformed were exterminated. This preeminence has clearly not been recognized by all people or for all people. In fact, it has yet to be accorded universal status. Highly developed cultures have accepted as natural such institutions as slavery, torture, and discrimination. It was not until 2 centuries ago that slavery ceased to be seen as normal and even a natural right. Western culture particularly has recognized a special right of the individual by which the individual can demand respect. Throughout history, personal dignity has gradually acquired a more universal validity. The recognition of the value of the human person entails respect for each individual person. In many cultures and traditions, this has not been possible, in part because their religious beliefs do not recognize the importance of individual identity, e.g., Buddhism, or due to prejudices about special prerogatives based on caste or gender differences, e.g., Islam or Hinduism, or social class, as in many industrialized or developing countries. In part as well, because the recognition of this preeminence jeopardizes the interests of privileged groups. Nonetheless, an international consensus is emerging that recognizes the inalienable dignity of each person. We recognize the inherent dignity and the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family. Personal preeminence endows all human beings with fundamental rights. These rights are based on people's very being and enable them to demand adequate conditions and means to fulfill themselves in the fundamental aspects of their personal being. The obligation that I discover in my neighbor corresponds to the right that my neighbor has to demand that I respect him. 4.2. The experience of the human person's value. Each person has an intuition of the value of her own life, of her being and her existence as a supreme value, at least for herself. When she manages to project this value onto others, she discovers the preeminence of the other person. She thus comes to realize that the other is worth as much as she is. This realization gives rise to the precept of treating others as she would be treated, your neighbor as yourself, or do not wish for others what you would not wish for yourself. Intuition and experience help us to recognize human dignity more than an abstract consideration of human beings' faculties or qualities. Experience shows us that people who do not value their own life are practically unable to value the life of others. Likewise, people who cannot get past focusing on their own value to see the value of others often end up using others for their own purposes. 4.3, anthropological grounding of personal preeminence. In ourselves and in others, we discover certain qualities that sustain our immediate certainty as subjects with a relatively absolute value, i.e., open and free beings with self-determination in the face of all reality, even in the face of the reality of God, but in a relative way, inasmuch as we need the world's reality and the reality of others and of God in order to be human beings. Ours is an absolute value, beyond all measure, but it is relatively absolute, because our value as persons is in relation to others and depends on mutual recognition and respect. From this, we can posit a common basis for the different conceptions of the human person throughout history. Intelligence, consciousness, free will, the possibility of moving beyond self-interest and being jointly responsible, of doing things for love, of being a person, and at the same time part of a whole. A. with respect to intelligence. In our way of encountering things, we find that we apprehend them as something real, different from us. Intelligence opens up the realm of reality. We can know it, we are in it, we transform it, and we define ourselves in terms of reality. We can be who we are on the basis of reality, without being completely determined by it. B. Consciousness is the capacity people have to possess themselves, to be present to themselves, to conduct themselves. This ability makes people superior to all other living beings. From this experience, we can come to discover ourselves as thinking selves who can comprehend the world, who can be what we are, and still relate to what is not us, transform it, and make use of it. C. Free will. We experience ourselves as free beings because we can define our way of being and determine ourselves in our actions, and because people are capable of deciding for themselves and of determining what relation they will have with the world and with others, as well as of responding to the demands made on them as autonomous beings. D. People's preeminence is grounded in their capacity to move beyond their self-interest and be jointly responsible for others. E. They are also capable of loving and of giving of themselves for love. Love is the most ennobling force in humanity. F. They are the only beings capable of apprehending all people and the universe. This is why they ask questions about totality. It is worth pointing out that an individual person's rights cannot be detached from her social referent. Respect for one person's rights entails obligations for others. Furthermore, the sense of human rights has to do with enabling people to fulfill themselves within a community, in which these same people must respect the rights of others as an obligation that corresponds to their rights. Respecting human beings also entails respecting the surroundings in which they live, and recognizing the value of the world and other living beings. There is no use in respecting people without respecting what they need to live. In many cultural and religious traditions, we find respect for all creatures with which people feel affinity. At times, this respect may be rooted in superstitious and fetishist elements, but it can also reflect a well-founded sense of the value of things. Respect for people also implies respect for that which belongs to them. First of all, their personal qualities, and then their worldly belongings. This respect is grounded in people's social dimension and the need that all people have of worldly goods. These arguments provide an anthropological grounding of the value of the human person. The claim that people have preeminence means that due to their intelligence, consciousness, and freedom, they constitute in themselves an inestimable value, relatively absolute and unalienable. People's value and preeminence is the immediate foundation of ethical values. An anthropological philosophy that does not subordinate people to any transcendent reality or to any other value will be forced to find in people themselves the foundation of their preeminence. But if it is grounded in the reality of the human person, not only will it have universal and permanent validity and be open to transcendence, it will also be able to draw on the wealth of life, history, and culture, plus Christian reflection. The message of Christian revelation, more than a revelation about God, is a revelation about human beings, about the value of the human person. People have worth because they are God's creatures, His masterwork. They have been made in God's image and likeness. They are capable of knowing and loving their Creator. People are valuable for being the object of God's love, for their personal relationship with Him. Christ has come not just to reveal the value of the human person, but to give His life for it. And in this sense, it can be said that people are worth the life of God made man. By being children of the Father Himself, people are brothers and sisters among themselves, called to share Christ's destiny and to reproduce His image during their lifetime and after it, definitively in eternal life. Christ forms us according to His image, says St. Cyril of Alexandria, in such a way that the traits of His divine nature shine forth in us. Man's sublimity, his glory and dignity, lie in knowing where true greatness is and cleaving to it, in looking for the glory that comes from the Lord of glory. As the Apostle says, if anyone wants to boast, let him boast of the Lord, an assertion made in another text. By God's doing, Christ has become our wisdom, and our virtue, and our holiness, and our freedom. Human beings' dignity is grounded in the option that God has taken for them by creating them and redeeming them. The purpose of the commandments is not just to honor God, but as a necessary demand of faith, to care about other people's rights and needs. Summary. Human beings' consciousness, freedom, responsibility, social dimension, love, and capacity for giving of themselves place them above other things. This preeminence makes all values subordinate to human beings. The discovery of human dignity is a fruit that took a long time to grow over the course of human history. The dignity of the human person gives rise to human rights, which are an expression of people's potential for development and humanization. Human dignity is recognized through intuition and experience. The purpose of human rights is people's development within their community. A more in-depth look: in our neighbor, we intuitively recognize a being identical to ourselves, with a conscious, thinking, and free nature. This intuition means that in the experience that we have of the other, we are inevitably aware of not only the presence of a body with a series of physical features that are inherent to its corporality. What we experience, paradoxically, is the intimacy of the other as an inviolable intimacy, something that is not experienced, so to speak. But that is similar to my own, as an experience that at the same time contains the secret of the universe. There are those who walk down their own short personal segment of this long human history without ever considering the problem of their dignity. Satisfied, perhaps, with the unfathomable gift that they are for themselves, they never stop to wonder where it came to them from. I learned from my illiterate but wise mother that all rights to be deserved and preserved come from duty well done. Thus, the very right to live accrues to us when we do the duty of citizenship of the world. The sum total of everything that can be the object of human rights is far from being exhausted. Just as we do not know where the limits of man's physical capacities lie, as we see him break records that we considered unbreakable, neither can we determine how far the development of our moral conscience and the feeling of brotherhood and equality may someday lead. When defining what human rights are, it is not enough to defend the dignity of the human person and her human right. It is also important to find out which specific behaviors promote this dignity and which degrade it, and what sort of actions are consistent with these human rights. Activities. What alternatives can you come up with to the preeminence of the human person as a basis for a common ethics? How might the construction of a universal ethics not grounded in the human person be justified? What happens when we do not recognize that the human person has a preeminent value? Discuss some historical cases. In what areas of our personal and social life do you think the preeminence of the person has not yet emerged as a guiding principle? Analyze an issue of the company or professional activity where you work, in which it is particularly important to consider the preeminence of the human person. What implications could there be in the structure of the company if the human person is seen as an end and not a means? How do you think the value of one's own person and that of others might be experienced? Analyze the Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations Charter. Point out the rights that are respected in the company where you work or in some other company, and those that are not respected. Why do you think they are not respected? How could they begin to be respected? If your rights were not derived from your dignity, how else do you think they could be justified? What do you base your own personal preeminence on? Analyze an extreme case in which personal preeminence might need to be relativized, situation in which the common good takes preference over the individual good, death penalty, tyrannicide, etc. Could an ethics with universal validity be possible? What would it have to be based on? True or false? The human person is not an objective value, it is just a way of thinking about others. True, false? Human relations, father, mother, spouse, child, friend, are merely concepts of the mind. A. DeMello, Rompi el Idolo, 22. True, false? If someone believes they are inferior, they will constantly find things that confirm their belief. True, false? Laws that are contrary to human rights cannot be taken as mandatory. True, false? The overriding issue of authority is not to order the right things, but to let human beings be persons. True, false? Human rights emerge from the very nature of human beings. True, false? Human rights are based on the consensus of the people who defend them. True, false? Human rights need to consider not just the individual person, but also the aggregate of people organized in society. False? Human rights endanger the correct functioning of society. True, false? There is no such thing as better or worse people. True, false? Assessing value always entails mental work. True, false? The struggle for self-improvement is futile. True, false? Human dignity consists of conducting one's own life in service to others. True, false? Bibliography: Aranguren, José Luis, Ética y Política, Ed Guadarrama, Madrid, 1924. The author proposes an integration of personal ethics and social ethics, and analyzes the way some authors have sought this integration. In addition, he suggests that the scope of ethics be extended to all economic, political institutions and systems in order to foster the ethical development of the human person. Chot, Mauricio, Filosofía y Derechos Humanos, Siglo XXI, Mexico City, 1994. In this work, the author presents different ways of justifying human rights and looks for a systematic way to resolve some of the philosophical problems posed by analytical philosophy, showing the continued validity of natural law as a model for justification. Böckle, Franz, El Derecho Natural y Dar Herder Barcelos Intenciones. This book compiles the most important contributions from the philosophical, sociological, and theological debate in an overview of the principles of moral theology. The author believes that morality should offer universal principles that objectively address specific ethical problems, giving a margin and degree of certainty to individual options. Brandenstein, Belaef, Problemas de una Ética Filosófica, Herder, Barcelona, 1989. The author proposes an analysis of the grounds for a unitary ethics within a pluralistic society and culture. He offers a broad vision of the values of life, pleasure, joy, happiness, power, respect for the person, love, etc. The author discusses the reality of values and shows the validity of a universal ethos that is capable of leading the human person to fulfillment. Briascorn, Norbert, Filosofía del Derecho Barcelona. This work offers a systematic introduction and overview to the basic issues concerning the origins, justification, and meaning of norms. Highly recommended for the diversity and relevance of the topics and the precision of the concepts that are presented. Corath Emmerich, ¿Qué es el hombre? E poner Herder, Barcelona, 1982. This work is a systematic examination of philosophical anthropology from the perspective of the so-called transcendental school. The author structures his reflection around two lines of thought, the self-development and self-fulfillment of the human person. A solid, up-to-date work. Yanini Humberto, La Experiencia Moral de Universitaria Chile, 1922. The author attempts to justify morality on the basis of overall human experience within the context of political and social life. It contains a solid justification of human dignity. Guardini Romano, Mundo y Persona de Cianda, Madrid, 74. The author makes a phenomenological and psychological analysis of the concept of person from a Christian perspective, indispensable reference for any in-depth study of the person. Hafter G., Anthropologia Filosófica de Herder, 1986. This work is a systematic treatise and compilation of the key issues of philosophical anthropology. Its approach is based on existentialist philosophy in dialogue with contributions from the human sciences. Hervada Javier, Introducción Crítica al Derecho Natural, UNSA, Mexico City, 1985. The purpose of this book is to point out the key role that the human person plays in society as a dignified and demanding being, entitled to rights that are inherent to his being. It stresses the civilizing function of natural law. López Quintas, Alfonso, Conocimientos Bolivino, Navarra, 1989. An informative book about the problem of values in our culture. López Azpitarte, Eduardo, Fundamentación de la Ética Cristiana, Madrid, 1991. In this book, the author offers a brief but profound synthesis of a justification of Christian morality within a pluralistic and skeptical society. The core issues of ethics are rigorously examined. Abundant bibliography. Dubin, Fenomenología del Derecho Civil, Buenos Aires, 1964. The broad tradition of natural law has been subjected to diverse criticisms, many of which point to the abstract and rationalist nature of this concept. The author of this book proposes a different approach, focusing more on the moral act itself than on the rationalist conclusions to be drawn. The book is enlightening for its dialogue with tradition. Millán Pueyes Antonio, Persona Humana y Justicia Social, Eder Real, Madrid, 78. The author sets forth the foundations of the dignity of the human person, the root hope of the duties that social interaction imposes, and the rights that can be invoked. This work is directly geared to action in favor of social justice. Millas, Jorge, Fundamentos de los Derechos Humanos, Chile, 1982. Spayman, Robert, Lo Natural y Lo Natural Real, Madrid, 1989. The author confronts the difficulty of relating normative values to human nature and of pinpointing the place for reason in moral action. In response to the naturalist view of the human person that underlies the natural sciences, the author stresses the irreducible value of human dignity. UNESCO, El Derecho de Ser Hombre, Ethort de Sígueme, Bogotá. This work contains a collection of quotes by a wide range of authors, cultures, and traditions, highlighting the fundamental rights of the human person. A very useful reference for reflecting on the value of the person and the meaning of human rights from a variety of viewpoints. Questions: What is meant by preeminence? the property that places human beings above any other value. How did the value of the human person gradually emerge? As a fruit that grew slowly over the course of history, out of the encounter of human beings with themselves. What are human rights? They are natural imperatives derived from the human structure. They are concrete, historical conclusions drawn from the preeminence and value of the human person. They are a reflection of the human person's most profound aspiration, of her potential for growth and humanization. How can we recognize the value of our personal being? Through intuition and experience, where does the value of the human person come from? From his consciousness, responsibility, freedom, solidarity, and capacity to give of himself and to apprehend all of reality. What is the anthropological basis for personal preeminence? The human person's intelligence, consciousness, and freedom. What does it mean that people are intelligent beings, that they have the capacity to open themselves to reality and to recognize through it their independence and autonomy? What does it mean that people are conscious beings, that they have the capacity to possess themselves, to be present to themselves, to conduct themselves, and to recognize their preeminence over other living creatures? What does it mean that people are free, that they have the capacity to define their way of being and to determine who they are through the relationships they establish with the world and with others, as well as to respond to the demands that these others make?